Accession number 18527, Real One.
Norman Lithgow, Real One. Where were you born, please?
In Lambeth, London.
Which year was this?
1917.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Lambeth?
No, I had my schooling in South London, in Thornton Heath, which is on the Greenbelt.
Is that because the family moved from
Yes.
Lambeth to Thornton Heath?
Yes.
And how old were you when you left school?
I was actually 12. We moved from Thornton Heath to Erith, and my father bought an old property and he kept me at home to work with the builder from 12.
And so you went into the building industry on leaving school?
Yes, yes, I went into plumbing.
So you became a professional plumber?
Yes, yes.
In 1929?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you do that all the way up to the war?
Yes, yes, I had my own business.
And did you join the Territorial Army before the war?
No, no.
Why not?
Time, I expect.
Did you hear... Were you doing your plumbing business in Erith?
No, no, I was... We left Erith at 14. The school authorities did check up on myself and I went back to school for about a month and then I was 14. And then a little after that we moved to Thornton Heath where... back to really a place we had originally had.
So that's where you practiced your business?
Yes, I started work as a plumber's mate there, yes.
Were you living in Thornton Heath when war broke out?
Yes, yes, I was married then.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, yes.
Can you describe the circumstances and how you reacted?
Well, we were at Kingston Barracks. I worked at that time for plumbing contractors, and we were working on the installation of toilets and kitchen equipment. And we were there on this particular Sunday morning when, I think it was only about 11 o'clock, the news came over the radio that we were at war, and I think we heard the sirens going, we all dashed for cover for no reason at all, because wasn't much activity on that occasion, and that was the start of the war as far as I was concerned.
You worked on Sundays, did you?
Yes, we used to work Sundays with this firm.
How did you feel when you heard the news that we were at war again?
A little shocked, but I don't think, being of that age, I was particularly worried. It was something that we'd been expecting for a time, and I think it was in the system that it would come.
Were you in any early bombing of England by the German Air Force?
Yes. Not directly, but I remember seeing the first raid on Croydon, which was at... I think it was in June. And it was about 7 o'clock in the evening, and I remember seeing all these planes coming over, and there was a raid on Croydon, which... was probably 4 or 5 mile away from where we lived.
Was it frightening for you where you were?
No, funnily it wasn't frightening. It just looked like a raid, and you know, didn't know, we hadn't seen one before, we hadn't heard of it. Of course, the next morning we found that about 500 dead on it, and that was a bit of a shock. There was a, they hit the aerodrome and they hit a factory or some factories on it.
Did you go and visit the places that had been bombed?
No.
Were people very shocked?
Yes, they were, because it happened so quickly, and at that time they were distributing the Anderson shelters, which were the external shelters that were built in the garden. We had to dig a hole and put the shelter in, and then cover the shelter with the earth we removed from the hole, and we virtually went down there every time we had a raid. And then they were raiding London at that time regularly, every Sunday at lunchtime. It seemed that every lunchtime on a Sunday they would have a raid, and we had quite a few bombs locally, but we were never hit. There were bombings that caused damage in nearby roads.
What was your address at the time?
At 56 Springfield Road in Thornton Heath.
And did any bombs fall near your road?
Yeah, there were two that fell in the road.
Whereabouts in the road?
Actually, I think that was after I'd left, after I had gone into the army. But they were a few houses up. But at that time, my wife just had the... We had a daughter then, and that was when I was away when the bombing took place. So that would have been shortly after October, probably it was November or December in 1940. That would have been the time of the raids, when I was away with the army in Chester. That's where we were, Chester.
Did you have any frightening experiences in the air raids?
Rather, yes. I went on leave one time, and I was down in an adjoining road, and the sirens went and the planes came over, and I could hear the bombs dropping, and I actually ducked into a doorway of one of the houses, and actually I put my helmet through their glass door. Funnily enough, I didn't realise that that had happened, but that was fairly close, and they had dropped a few bombs at that time.
Where was that?
That's in Thornton Heath.
And whereabouts in Thornton Heath were you at that time?
Well, we were living with a mother at the time. That was at 56 Springfield Road. And that's where we had the shelter in the garden.
How did public morale stand up to the bombing in London?
Amazingly well. Amazing. You would see people, you know there was a bomb dropped around the corner. I mean, you would see people who lived next door there, but they didn't seem terrified at the thought of having further trouble. But it was very good, the morale, I'm sure.
What was the attitude towards the German air crews who were carrying out the bombing?
Well, you didn't really think of the air crews, more you thought of the raid itself.
How did the emergency services perform in the raids?
Oh, very good. They were brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. They were always on the job at clearing and extracting people, whatever was the case at the time. And I think they had nearby Croydon, there were quite a few big raids there, and they had a lot to do there.
Did you think the Germans would defeat England in the war?
Did you
think the Germans would defeat England?
No. No.
Did you think they would invade?
That I did, but I was surprised because I feel had they invaded, it might have been a little different story, having read and know what had happened at the time. I thought they might have a good chance of overrunning us.
Did you ever listen to Churchill's broadcasts?
Yes, I remember him.
What effect did they have?
Well, they were boosting. He kind of reassured you that everything was going well. I think that was marvellous, really.
Did you listen to Lord Haw?
I remember listening once, but I can't remember much about him. I remember he was regularly on the radio, but I don't. I remember once I heard something, but I wasn't particularly interested in what he had to say because we all assumed it was propaganda.
Now, how was your plumbing trade affected by the war?
Well, the plumbing trade, we finished all the installation work for the, must have been Ministry of Works or something, for the camps that were being built at the time. And then our firm suddenly went very quiet, and we lost all our new work because of the war. And I was, at that time, which would be 39, and I used to do repairs on roofs for shrapnel and replacing slates and things like that, working for this firm then. And when it reached about the October, or it'd be October 1940 was when I went into the army, and I felt that I was really wasting my time. I was a tradesman at the time. I thought if I could get into the engineers, I would go into the army. I thought it was inevitable that I would be in the army anyway. And it was the choice of getting into the army or probably being put into a munition factory. And I thought, well, I would rather be in the army. And so, 10th of October, 40, I joined up.
Why did you prefer the army to a munitions factory?
Well, I was going to have to be away from home, and I really thought that I would be, it would be more active for me, and I would have probably settled into army life better than munitions.
Where did you do your basic training?
In Chester. We had Blaken Camp. That was in Chester.
What was the basic training like?
Very tough. Very tough. I was in a hut for nearly a fortnight with vaccine fever. And at that time, we were sleeping on straw palliasses in a more or less open hut with the door very often open. And I remember the Lance Corporal that was in charge of the hut, he didn't seem to have anything else but a number 9 tablet to kind of remedy the problem. And we were really quite ill, but I think vaccine fever was something that a lot of people had after their jabs.
What was a number 9 tablet supposed to do?
Oh, I don't know. Never did find out. They're probably like a overrated aspirin, I suppose. I really don't know. But if you were ill, it would give you a number 9. And that was it. It seemed that there wasn't much alternative, not in the camp anyway.
Did you soon recover from the vaccine?
Oh, yes, it lasted illness? About a fortnight. It lasted about a fortnight.
A fortnight?
Mm. Well, a week. It was a week, probably a fortnight, yeah, before it was cleared.
What kind of symptoms did you have?
Oh, it was shivering, and it was shivering mostly, and I don't know, really, I do forget. It was...
How were you treated by those in charge of the basic training?
Regarding the illness?
No, in the actual drill and so on.
Oh no, that was pretty stringent. That it was there was no sympathy from anybody really. I mean, sergeants were sergeants, and they were like little gods to us. And we would be marching or doing drills or whatever on the square. And if somebody was a little bit slower than the others, they would say, well, if you don't get it right, you'll all be on the square for another hour after you've finished. And it was, the sergeants, they didn't communicate with the men, only as drillers, drilling instructors.
So when you finished the basic training, what unit did you go to?
I went to the 663.
663 what?
AW Company.
What does AW mean?
Artisan Works.
Where were they based?
Well, they were then recovering or regrouping from the Dunkirk affair, because I wasn't in the army in the Dunkirk period, but they were on the Lancastria, and they lost half their men on this ship. It was sunk at Saint Nazaire. It was a boat that was taking the troops back from France, and it had a bomb go into the funnel, and the ship went down in 10 minutes, apparently. Anyway, this company, the 663, were on this, and they lost half their men, and they came back to England, and we kind of were part of the replacement.
Where did you find the company?
Scarborough, I joined them.
What kind of responsibilities did you have with the company?
Well, we were a works company, and it was made up mainly of tradesmen, building tradesmen, and we did do building work. It was like building Nissen huts and roads, and we also, in the latter time, when we moved to Donington, which is in Shropshire, we did a lot of new houses there and a telephone exchange, which was carried out by the company because the main building industry closed and all these jobs were left unfinished.
So, were you doing that right up to D-Day?
No, we went from Scarborough to East Hampstead Park, which is in Berkshire. And that's where we did a lot of works.
And then?
And then from there we went to Scarborough. We went to Westwood Ho, which is North Devon. And it was there that we first came in contact with the Pluto. the Pluto line, and we were stationed in a holiday camp on the cliffside, and we built the first storage tank, which was about a 360,000 gallon container of petrol. It was brought over by the Canadian engineering company, and they assembled it at Westward Ho, and we were training to do this ourselves.
To work on the storage tank?
Yes, yeah. And at the same time, we were one or two sections on this, and another two sections in the company were then experimenting with ship-to-shore lines near Bristol. They had a line go across there from, I forget the name of the place where they operated from, but they were working ship-to-shore, and they had successfully made this crossing, apparently, while we were on the other side working on the tanks.
Were you building the tanks?
Yes, yeah. These tanks were 50, I would say 52 or 54 feet wide and about 26 foot high. And they were constructed of 8x4 panels, which were all joined together with rubber seals and trusses on the roof and roof covering.
So they were cylindrical tanks, were they?
Well, they were round. They were cylindrical in the fact that they were, but they were wide and I'd say 24, 26 foot high.
What did they store?
Petrol. They were for petrol. We didn't know at the time. We weren't given any information. But after that period, we did move down to the Isle of Wight.
What year have we reached now?
I would say 43. It would be about 43, that. It's.
So how many of these tanks did you build at Westward Ho?
Only the one. We put it up and took it down. It was really a learning process.
And you moved to the Isle of Wight, you said?
Yes, we went to a place called Sea View. And then we had a little training first with building the tank, and then we worked on the Victaulic pipe.
Which pipe?
Victaulic.
What was that?
It was a pipe that ran, or we conveyed the petrol through. It was all joined together by, they were 20 foot lengths and joined by couplings with a rubber insert. A very quick assembly job, but we did run pipes around the island, around Sea View, and where we were stationed. And they actually did have pumps in, and they were pumping water around the section of the island. But during that time, we had companies would come in for training, because in the event of in the invasion, should people get lost, these were covering companies, and they were going to take part in the installation on the continent. We didn't know this at the time, but of course that was the cause of the meaning of the installation. I say staff, we've got a staff, but they were. We had about three companies come in, and we did teach them this. installation work, and at the time of one of the building of the tank, we did have a naval film company who did film this particular installation job, and this was shown in the local picture palace to the intake of the other companies. So we were all in the film, and we used to go down to the cinema just to see it, and they seemed to get a laugh out of it.
What did these Victaulic pipes look like?
Well, they were just 4-inch pipes, 20 foot long, little grooves on either end, and with the couplings used to fit over the two grooves of the collet in the centre, and they used to be two bolts.
The collet?
Well, the collet, I'm talking about the rubber insert, which was the sealing point for the couplings. So when the couplings were put on, this rubber thing joined on the two pipes, and the bolts tightened it up, and it was waterproof or petrolproof, whatever.
So these were metal pipes?
Oh, yes, yeah, they were steel. But these were used on the land.
Not underwater?
No, we didn't use these underwater. We did have a period while we were on the Isle of Wight of it was an experimental manoeuvre whereby they tried to float these pipes, but this was a failure. It just didn't work. The pipes just broke in half. You know, it was just a trial. We were trying to get the pipes to float, but they wouldn't.
Where is the sea view on the Isle of Wight?
It's near Ryde, about 5 miles from Ryde.
What other kind of work did you do at sea view?
Nothing. We did that the whole time on this pipeline and the pipe installations. They built one at Bembridge, which is near Shanklin, and we had to camouflage this, and we actually had some of our fellows go up in an aeroplane just to check it to see if it was visible as such, but it proved to be quite a success, the camouflage. And during that period, we were in the model room. We were asked to make some model pylons and for exhibition at the Ryde Pavilion. And they were telescopic, two legs at the front, one at the back, which when they laid it on the ground, there were 25 feet camouflage nets, big square nets. And they were pushed up in columns to make a big covering of camouflage under which we worked, eventually in Normandy.
So you were demonstrating to other people?
Yes.
Who were these people you were demonstrating to?
Well, they were other engineering companies. They were AW companies, the same as us, ourselves. And they just had a 2 or 3 week course. And that was it. They would see all the models. We made the models that were put into the Ryde Pavilion, and they had the show.